This is our spiritual, economic, empowerment, and development strategy seminar. Where did that big word come from? It's Nigerian federal government. It's not me, all right? You know, we have the national economic empowerment and development strategies, all right? That's NEEDS. And then they have the one for the states, which is state economic, you know, the rest of the story. And then, and now when I listen to it, I say, very good. I think people should have a spiritual foundation for this. And so I decided to talk about what, we just substituted that word, national or state, for what? Spiritual. So we have our spiritual economic empowerment and development strategies. We're going to talk, it's all on spiritual basis, economic matters, and empowerment of people, and development of a nation, and the strategies to accomplish all of these. Is what we want to talk about. And the aim of the whole seminar is to get kingdom principles for the creation of businesses and development of enterprises, and thereby build a nation. That's all. We're not going beyond that. So if you feel like this will not really benefit you, you don't have to come back. Do you get my point? Now, I really mean that. I don't mean that as I'm not taunting you. I mean it literally. If you do not feel like your life involves the issue of creation of businesses and development of enterprises via which we would build a nation, all right, develop a people, then do not bother, all right? Now, what do I want to do? The reason behind this is simple. Maybe let me read this scripture, and then we'll use that one to start. Psalm 1, verse 1. Quickly open your Bible to the book of Psalms 1. I will start from verse 1. It says, how blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. He now said in verse 4, the wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Hold that one there and quickly open to the book of Isaiah chapter 55. It says from verse 7, 6, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now this is where I'm going, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Again, quickly, open to the book of Psalms 118. I'm trying to establish the thing that we are trying to do. Psalm 118. From verse 19. It said, open to me the gates of righteousness. I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord. It said, this is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it. I shall give thanks to thee, for thou hast answered me, and thou hast become my salvation. Please notice this. He said, open to me the gates of righteousness. That's the one I am going to enter through. There is a gate of the Lord. That is what the righteous uses whenever they want to enter something. Now, we have read all of this to understand why we are doing this seminar. And that's, like I said, we are talking on economic empowerment and development. Okay? And what I want to bring out here is this. Now, the world has its way of doing things, okay? And that's a matter of fact. And most of the books we read, all right, they are, and I'm so happy, I have read a lot of them also. I've read most of Robert Kiyosaki's books, maybe not all of them, but most of them, in fact, at least the initial ones. You know, after a while, a man just keeps writing just to, so he might keep writing. He has made all the points. most of the ones he first made the points, I read. At least I can say I've read quite a number of Donald Trump. I've read a lot of business, well, not really core business books, but you know, all these kind of books that we all read. I think I've read quite a bit of them. And in fact, I read two books recently, one by the current richest man in the world, Warren Buffett, and then one by Muhammad Yunus. That's Banker to the Poor. And there are two things I gained from those two books that will help me what I'm trying to teach this time. And that's the fact that you can be very different. Do you understand my point? Those two people are very different. Now, they succeeded in their own way. But I don't want to lay emphasis on what everybody is doing. I'm trying to bring out something. That we have read many of these books, and unconsciously, Christians, if we are not careful, we think that we operate like people of the world. We don't understand that, or we forget that we have a special power working towards them that believe. Are you getting my point? If you read Ephesians chapter 1, Paul explained that there is a power that works towards those that believe. And I read these scriptures to bring out an issue. God said in Isaiah chapter 55, my ways are higher than your ways. You know, when I'm watching TV, 80% of the times what I'm watching is news, current affairs, what's going on in the world. You know, I know everything Barack Obama has done the first 3 days of being president. Anytime I see the man, I can't help smiling. Sometimes I want to cry. Other times I just be smiling, just watching the man being president. It's very interesting. And I keep praying for him. All right? It's very important. Because as some of us are rejoicing, some people are not happy. And all of us are releasing forces into the air. And it will affect him. All right? So we have to dominate the air with a good spirit. It's very important. All right? So as I watch things that happen, and I look at the spirit of the age, there's what the Bible calls the spirit of the age. Are you getting my point? And let me tell you something. The Bible says that he that sows to the flesh will from the flesh reap what? Corruption. When the Bible says that, all right, it has a clear meaning. Let me explain this. That is, you know, we read from Psalm 118. Any enterprise you want to enter into, you must choose the gate you want to enter through. Do you follow the point? And what you will get out of that enterprise is decided by the gate you entered through. It's not as much as what you do while you are in there that's the issue, but the gate you entered through. Do you follow what I mean? And what do we mean by the gate? Because you see, when Jesus was speaking about this, and that's in Matthew chapter 7, he said, enter by the narrow gate. Okay? He said, because narrow is that which leads to life. And there are few that find it. He said, broad is the one that leads to destruction. Now, those things have practical meanings. You know what it means? We're talking about economic empowerment and development strategies. It means that the strategy you use for building your business, all right, decides whether at the end of the days you will have succeeded or you will have failed. I'm going to list a few foundations, all right? That this is why we are doing what we are doing. Because it's so important we understand that point. Let me say this to you again. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, by faith we understand, that's, well, from chapter 1, from verse 1 to verse 6, if you read the whole context, all right? It was saying there that by faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, so that the things that are seen were not made out of things which are visible. What I've come to understand from there, which you've heard me explain before, is the fact that if you find a man, take step 1, step 2, step 3, do you understand? And succeed. People want to follow those steps, thinking that's why he succeeded. But the Bible is telling us clearly from there that the real reason is not obvious. Do you get my point? That the real reason is not obvious. You know, we're driving around town yesterday. My car had an issue, so one of my doctors was driving me around in his car from work, and they had to take me to the mechanic where my car still is. So we were not commenting on Enugu roads. You know, Enugu roads are very beautiful. You know that? They're very nice. The most blessed, in fact, it's a blessed thing. And you know, as far as I'm concerned, it's the effect of the word. You can say anything you like. It's because we are teaching the word in Enugu. That's why it is affecting our roads. You understand? Now, so the person now said that, oh God, democracy is good, though. I wasn't in a talking mood. Say, democracy is good. I wanted to say, it is not democracy. I wish you would understand. It's not democracy. It's not. When Rawlings transformed Ghana, he was a military man. It's not democracy. When David made Israel enter into rest, and then Solomon came and made them prosper, there was no democracy. A prophet would just get up, pour oil, and say, this is the king. He didn't ask whether you liked him or not. It's your problem. And the king said, this is my son, will reign in my stead. And it wasn't democracy. And the people prospered. Now, I'm trying to bring up something here. I'm not attacking democracy. Because, you see, one of the things God has been doing in recent times is to show us the failure of every world system. He started with communism. Went after communism, showed the communists that there's nothing in this thing. Even China, they shout, you know, they don't practice communism. China, they have a communist party, but as a nation, they don't practice communism. Because communism means that you can't own your own business. You are part of a collective. God allowed them to flourish for a while, and he showed them, say, evil citizen is very foolish. They say, yes, so dismantle it. Russia quickly dismantled it. After he finished the communism, you know what he faced next? Capitalism. He said, prosperity from capitalism. He said, let me just watch it. You know what is going on right now? Story of woe everywhere. 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 Tales of woe. Samsung, they said, for the first time in their life, they declared a loss, a quarterly loss. They are laying, everybody's laying off staff. Everybody's laying off staff. And then I was watching one man analyze the fine art market that the bubble has suddenly burst. I said, why won't it burst? They put one square of paper on the wall, say $250,000. Why won't the bubble burst? Capitalism, capitalism. At the end of the day, God has shown us that it doesn't work the way we thought. George Bush and the Republicans insisted that you should not control the market. Fine. By not controlling the market, Bernard Madoff skimmed the whole world of $50 billion. The Germans now said, that's the German Prime Minister, the lady, she now said that they have understood that, look, this capitalism is good, though, but it must be controlled. Ah, no, that you can't tell Obama not to control it. Before I give you money, tell me what you want to do with it. There must be strict control. There's a book in my house titled The Creature from Jekyll Island, analyzing the American Federal Reserve System. You know, that book made me laugh. You know why? Because I finished reading the book like 6 months before American banks needed bailout. And there's a chapter in the book titled The Game Called Bailout. that leave them, that they are all thieves. That this whole banking system is structured to benefit a few people. And eventually they will wreck the thing. When they finish wrecking it to their own benefit, they will now run to government and say, you have to bail us out. Otherwise, the whole banks will collapse and the whole nation will suffer. And all the taxpayers will suffer. And the government will start giving them money. I read this book. 6 months later, it was playing out before my eyes. I couldn't help laughing. The man read it and he said, look, there is a cycle. It always happens. That as long as you use the current banking system, it will continue to happen. In which the banks can lend. I don't want to go into too many technical details. That's not why I'm here. I'm here to give you a spiritual foundation. I just told all that story to let you know that there's no world system that is good. So one of my friends was saying my doctor was saying that is democracy is good. I was in the talking mood. I want to say it's not democracy. It's when God determines to bless the people. He said, I will give the Egyptian over into the hands of a cruel ruler. When God wants to bless people, he gives them over into the hands of a nice ruler. When he wants to punish them, whether through democracy or through autocracy or through the power of the gun, he will give them over into the hands of a wicked ruler. And there is nothing you can do about it. Are you getting my point? That is, the things that are seen are not made out of those things that are visible. We want to discuss, that's why we are here. I'm trying to explain what we are doing here. We want to discuss the invisible attributes that bring success into the lives of people. Are you getting my point? Listen, I will not tell you 5 keys on how to invest money. You know the truth? I don't even know. And it's very, very unimportant. And the man who will really make it, if he follows the real invisible attributes, the Bible says time and chance. Did you hear that? Time and what? Chance happens to them. That, you see, we've seen people who are smart. I like the way Warren Buffett put it. He said, Wall Street is very funny. It's a place where you find men who come in limos, you know, a limousine. And they come and take advice from the man who came on a train, who took public transport. Say, if that's how good he is, how come he doesn't have money to buy a limo? The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Please, I'm going to explain some things here, all right? That you see, the man who will succeed, it's not because he went to school. That's what Warren Buffett was saying, in effect. You can go and gather all the degrees. So why should I come and sit down and be taking advice from you? Which blessing has God blessed you that you'll be telling me what to do? The man said something. I read his book. It's a compilation of his essays, all right, by one man. We just compile and analyze, arrange them so that you can get the sense in what the man will say. But there's one thing I learned from everything, because I'm not here to teach you what Warren Buffett said. So I'm not here. I'm not going to tell you, look, this is Warren Buffett said, that's how he became the richest man in the world. Because one of the things we are going to see, okay, I was discussing that one today, is that money is not the standard. Money is not the standard. We are not using money to measure anything. He said a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. All right? In 2006, Muhammad Yunus was given the Nobel Peace Prize, all right, for the work he did in alleviating poverty in Bangladesh. You've heard of microfinance. Microfinance, he invented microfinance. But you will see, he wasn't trying to be rich, because why I'm bringing up that issue is that the Grameen Bank he built up and the telephone company he built up, he doesn't hold one single unit of the stocks, not one. He doesn't own the bank. He does not own the telecom company. But they are empowering and blessing millions and millions. He wasn't trying to impress anybody. Do you get the point? He was not trying to impress anybody. He just looked at his nation and said, this nation has to be built. He was working and living in the United States. When they declared independence, he came back home so that he would be able to help build the nation. Many years later, about 30 years later, we now said, all right, this man, let's give him a Nobel Peace Prize. The first time a Nobel Prize for Peace was being given to somebody who is not a civil rights activist. The man was a professor of economics that became a banker by accident. Or don't let me say by accident. By trying to help people. Because nobody will agree to do banking with the poor people. Are you getting the point? Uh-huh. So you see, the man didn't scheme to become wealthy, he became. And why I want, but maybe tomorrow I'll show us that lecture he gave, all right? What I want us to see it is that, you see, there's a spirit in what the man was doing, which I believe we should learn and stop measuring success by money. One of the first things I'm going to discuss is that issue. Please, I'm not here to teach you how to become rich. In Jesus' name, it's none of my business. Are you getting my point? Let me tell you the truth. You don't have more right to having money than me who's preaching. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to say. Yes. I'm not doing kingdom work ministries because I want to make money from it. In the same manner, you shouldn't actually, I'm telling you, be doing anything because you want to make money. Listen, my friend, the laborer is worthy of his wages, we know. So for all the activities that you put in, you must get wages. Do you follow my point? But listen to me, you will understand because we want to get divine thoughts. Remember what I said, divine thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Let us see how God thinks about things. Do you follow what I'm saying? That's what I want us to do. Let us see how God thinks about them. You will see that the building of a company is a ministry. Do you get my point? You know, you heard me discuss that. I'll discuss it again in detail. That God has designed. Listen, you know, people make it look as if Adam did not sin, we won't have all the problems we have in this world today. Now, that is true, but that we don't have to do all the things we are doing. That's not true. God never thought that Adam, when he wants to talk to Eve, and she's on the other side of the earth, he'll go and lie down and do transcendental meditation and levitation, all those funny things, and be communicating with Eve 2,000 kilometers away. He expected that one day, Adam would design the mobile phone. Now, it's not because of the fall. It wasn't the devil that designed that. God knew it would happen. Are you getting my point? God knew it has to happen. God commanded that that thing will be done one day. One day, men will have to invent the flying machine. Before, if you want to go and do mission in America, for the next 3 months, you're on the sea. May you not enter into a severe storm. But now, you can get up from here. I can tell you that, brethren, I'll be back on Saturday. Okay, let's say, assume that I'm supposed to preach on Sunday. I can go disappear yesterday, go to America, I'll preach 3 services, be back for service on Sunday.